How do I become an adult?
To truly become enlightened, you must answer this riddle. He seeks an entry-level job to get experience, but he cannot get an entry-level job without experience.
That doesn't make any sense.
Then I will teach you.
To get good credit, you must first accrue debt.
You need a suit for an interview, but you cannot pay for the suit until they hire you.
They will not take your job application seriously if you do not live in the same city. But you cannot afford to move to the city without a job.
You are underqualified for the position you want, but overqualified for the position you need.
I know. I'll get an unpaid internship.
Yes, but then you cannot support yourself.
I could just live at home till I'm 30. I've got it. I figured out the answers to all your riddles. I'm fucked. We're all just totally fucked.
And that pretty well sums it up, folks. You can put that down as a pretty accurate lesson in life in Western society anyway. They kind of nail it with that one. No matter what you do, you're fucked, and that's it. And that's the way it's all planned, folks. They just love it this way. Well, here I am in Croatia. I'm staying on a friend's farm, chickens and things, as you can hear. We've got the beautiful Croatian skies happening up here. Just look at this, folks, just wonderful stuff. None of this cloud is natural. The whole thing is sprayed. I flew into Rome, and then from Rome onto Venice, and then we drove from Venice through Slovenia down into Rijeka, and then down from Rijeka, and now I'm in a place called Zadar. And you should have seen the chemtrails spraying on the way as well, folks. I mean, the skies have just been saturated ever since I arrived in Europe. It's sort of something that you just don't see in Mexico. But there's so much of it here, it's just outrageous. And sorry it's been so long since I brought you a video, folks. I've had a lot of personal stuff to deal with in my life, and also traveling here. And then I just spent the last 4 days pretty much jet lagged. I came out here a couple of times to do a video, but it was too windy because I'm using the onboard mic at the moment. I still can't get any microphones working, so I've got to use the onboard mic, and it picks up wind noise very easily. So that's just the way it is, but I'm still alive anyway, and I guess you can take that any way you want. And the world's gone pretty much crazy in the last couple of weeks since I've done a video, as we expected it would. You know, people are pushing back in their own way. But of course, not in any way that's going to make any type of real difference. Like, we saw a petition in Canada. I think it was actually the largest signed petition in Canadian history, asking for the removal of Justin Castro.
Presenting petitions, the Honourable Member. For Peterborough.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to present e-petition 4701, the highest signed e-petition in Canadian history with 387,487 signatures. The petitioners state that they have lost confidence in the Prime Minister. The petitioners ask the state and the current government is not acting in the best interest of all citizens. Right. And the petitioners call upon the House of Commons to call for a vote of non-confidence and a federal election 45 days following the vote.
Yeah. And it's good to see stuff like that going on. But again, it's the wrong way. Petitions don't do anything. All petitions do is tell the government what you would like them to do. Tells them what you think, but it doesn't mandate that they have to do anything, which is why, rather than a petition, you need to create a people's mandate and get that many signatures on it. You know, we the people hereby mandate that you perform the following action. We want this guy removed, and you have 30 days to comply. If you haven't complied in 30 days, we'll express a loss of confidence in this government and seek to have this government dissolved and institute a new election. This is our mandate, and you will comply because you are public servants and you must represent the people that you're elected to represent. That's the way people need to look at it, folks. Because they're just going hell for leather. They're just going crazy in every direction that they can. The massive fires through Texas that burned out most of the crop and farmland. There was a video that I saw the other day. I don't think I can find the video anymore. Someone who is watching this might know where it is and might be able to post it below. But I saw a video of a guy saying that the Texas Rangers are now going through Texas and they are bulldozing whatever land didn't burn. Not the burnt land, but whatever is left as arable farmland, they're basically going in and destroying it. They're doing what they can to wipe out the food chain, folks. Look at these mountains over here. Beautiful mountain range. That's all national park over there. I'm going to go and explore that while I'm here. There is some sort of a plan to anyway, so that would be good. But yet it's a huge plan to wipe out the food chain. We've seen so many food production facilities being wiped out in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years through the scamdemic. Train derailments, bridge collapses. I was looking at that bridge the other day. Like on my last report, I kind of showed you both sides of it. Because a lot of people saying, oh, it's impossible for this to have been an accident. Well, actually, it's not impossible. They constructed it in such a way, or they constructed the accident in such a way that it is conceivable that it was an accident. But, you know, the more you look into it, the more it probably isn't. You know, a lot of the stuff, the way it collapsed, I mean, even the way the ship turned into it. And I've got to wonder, you know, we know they can remote control Boeings, they can remote control most large jet airliners now to prevent hijacking. And since everything has gone digital, you've got to wonder how many ships are digital and how many ships can be remote controlled. Is it possible to remote control a ship? If it's digital, if it's hooked up to the internet, then of course it's hackable. And when you look at what happened with that ship, how the lights went out, the power went off, then it came back on, then that went off again, and then it crashed into the bridge, kind of turned really abruptly into the bridge, which could have been the result of an anchor drop and the stern power coming online and all that sort of stuff. But what caused all that? Was it simply a malfunction? Was it simply a generator failure? Or was the ship hacked and remote controlled to do that? I just have to ask the question. Because like I said, you can remote control airliners, you can remote control just about anything these days. Cars, they can hack into cars and do whatever they want. Anything that's got an onboard computer is now vulnerable. And I have to wonder, you know, how much of what we see on any of this stuff is real? How much of it is hacked? But how much of it is real? There was another video that came out of the ship or the bridge. It was a news report. And have a look at this. There's these crows or these birds flying towards the bridge and suddenly they disappear from the frame. It's really bizarre, folks, that would happen. You know, both flying at the same speed, disappear at the same time. How real is any of this stuff that they're showing us on TV, folks? How real was the eclipse is another question. This is a really interesting question. And people are going to probably balk at that and go, you know, what are you talking about? How real is the eclipse? But you've got to ask the question. All sorts of people were predicting all sorts of things and all sorts of terrible stuff to happen when the eclipse happened. I thought it would be another non-event. That's why I wasn't too worried about getting a video out and focusing on any of it, because I figured it's just going to be another Y2K. Nothing's going to happen. It's just an eclipse, you know. The eclipses happen all the time. And, you know, they're all portents of this and portents of that, but it never happens. So I didn't think anything would happen with this one. But there's an interesting few reports that I've seen by people. And look, I'm not an astrologer. I don't know about the movements of the planets and the stars and stuff. I mean, they're pretty lights in the sky. I don't really pay much attention to astrology or any of that sort of stuff. I'm no authority on it, on where planets should be and where the moon should be or where the sun should be or all that sort of stuff. But have a listen to this report put out by this woman.
People are talking about this. And the moon on April 8th, they are in. Right now, if you go and you to April 8th, it will show you that Pisces, they are sitting beside blind. Possible because the sun is since back in 23. I've been telling you that the sun is not. You're telling me it's the cat. Don't worry about it. Sun is. That's different. It's not where its eclipse is showing that I am telling, because if we see an 8th, how is that sun and the moon are in being Aries eclipse and Pisces, and the moon are not aligned and in order for you to see an eclipse. So I can ask to understand to you. To as many people as I can, because these changing, they, and they show you an eclipse, and if they are.
Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? That the sun and the moon were not aligned. So how did the eclipse happen? And then there's another report put out by another woman about a space probe or a satellite or whatever it is, something that they put up in the sky called Phobos 3. And check this out.
All right. If this isn't disclosure, I don't know what is. I mean, I'm sure some people out there would just claim that this is just one giant coincidence. If you guys have been following me for a while, you know I've been saying that I do not believe that the April 8th eclipse was a naturally occurring eclipse for several reasons. And then this morning, my friend in Switzerland sends me this article. Let's take a look. Now, the article's in German, but I translated it. And the headline reads, "Research with Artificially Created Solar Eclipses." The article goes on to say that ESA in Belgium, which is one of the companies I was sharing, around the world that have sun simulators, they presented two probes just last week that could, and I quote, "artificially create solar eclipses if desired," unquote. Okay, and this gets better. You can't make this shit up. The two space probes' names are Occulter and Coronagraph. And it just so happens that last week they tested out their Occulter and Coronagraph space probes. The research team says that the pair of space probes will align so closely with the sun that the Occulter will cast a shadow on the Coronagraph, thus creating an artificial solar eclipse. And if that isn't enough, the article goes on to say that the scientists will use the North American eclipse to test the hardware developed for their mission of their two space probes, named Occulter and Coronagraph, that create artificially created solar eclipses. Again, I'm telling y'all, that was not natural yesterday. And just keeps getting better. So the article was ran on April 8th in the German and Switzerland newspapers, right, which is several hours here ahead of North America. And it reads, "We are pleased to announce the launch of Occulter and Coronagraph probes today, April 8th, the day of the eclipse in North America." Another coincidence, I guess? All right, just to recap real quick, let's see how many coincidences we can cram into this one little block. We have this company, ESA, out of Belgium, who ironically also makes a sun simulator. They also have a mission, Proba 3, that entails two probes named Occulter and Coronagraph. Their mission? To artificially create solar eclipses. They launched those probes, Occulter and Coronagraph, yesterday, April 8th. The researchers claim that they used the North American solar eclipse to test their mission's hardware. Again, I do not believe April 8th's eclipse here in the United States was naturally occurring, but if you do and you can chalk all this up to one giant coincidence, you probably thought the vaccine was safe and effective too. All right, if this isn't disclosure, I don't know.
That's really interesting, isn't it? They were launching a little module which they're going to use to simulate eclipses, and they launched it that day. Do you see anything strange here, folks? I mean, you got to wonder, if the planets weren't lined up, the sun and the moon weren't lined up in order to be able to create an eclipse, and they happened to launch this satellite on the same day, or this whatever it is, Phobos 3, well, what really caused the eclipse? It's interesting when you look at Indian literature, they talk about, I think it's Rama and Yama, that are two bodies in the sky, Ramu and Yamu, sorry, two bodies in the sky which don't reflect light, which are actually orbiting as well, and that is what passes in front of the sun, and that's what passes in front of the moon, and that's what causes solar and lunar eclipses. This is according to the Vedic cosmology and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, interesting. So what was that really all about, that eclipse the other day? Apparently they were spraying during it, and they're going to launch some satellite, and then there was some comet going past, and I mean all sorts of things, you know. So you just got to wonder how they're using it all, or whether it's simply just another distraction, get people looking the other way while they're doing other things, which is what so much of what they do is. You know, the war in Ukraine, the war in Gaza. The Gaza's basically a fuse they're trying to light in order to provoke Iran into a confrontation. I mean, even Israel even bombed the Iranian embassy in Damascus the other day. As you do, of course, you know. But no, we're not trying to provoke anyone. And Iran hasn't attacked another country in over 270 years, almost 280 years since Iran attacked another country. The only war they've been involved in was the war with Iraq, which the US and Israel basically got them involved in. Israel's just been going hard with Gaza still, stretching it out as much as they can. And they're sick. They're such a sick culture. They really are. It's just death and destruction. And they've done it so many places and so many countries around the world and so many governments they've infiltrated. It's just ridiculous how far they're going. Even with what's going on in Africa, I mean, we look at the state of Africa, it's absolutely hideous what's been done to the African continent. And mostly you would blame Britain, because that's kind of the way it works. It's all British imperialism's caused a lot of stuff, but you've got to look at where all this comes from as well. And even if it is Britain that's instigating all these problems, well, who are the ones who make sure the problems are exacerbated and make sure the problems continue and make sure the genocide continues? It's always the state of Israel, and they've had a pretty dramatic hand in the destruction of Africa. Have a listen to this.
Israel likes to call themselves the most moral army in the world. But if you simply take a closer look at their actions across the African continent, you'll get a completely different story. Israel has been facilitating destabilization through military efforts across the continent since the 60s. Let's first take a look at the Congo. Israel was supportive of the assassination of Patrice Lumumba, the Congo's first prime minister after they gained their independence. Lumumba wanted to unite Africa and have them be less dependent on their former colonizers. Now, while it was the US and Belgium who were responsible for Lumumba's death at only 36 years old, it was Israel who then helped them back Mobutu Sese Seko, an intensely corrupt leader who was willing to be a puppet for the West. They gave Seko huge amounts of money and arms to maintain the violence needed for Western mineral extraction, and Israel's special interest are the minerals needed to create the weapons they rely on, like the weapons used right now to commit a genocide against the Palestinian people. To date, Israel still trains the militia responsible for the violence and enslavement of the Congolese people. They too are experiencing a genocide. In Nigeria in the late 1960s, Israel meddled in the Nigerian-Biafran War by giving assistance to both sides. And they did this knowing full well that the Nigerian military were committing atrocities against the Biafran people who wanted their independence. They gave the Biafrans $200,000 to buy weapons, and they gave Nigeria their equipment to ferry in soldiers, bombs, ammunition, and other supplies to their front lines. That would be like going to a boxing match and betting on both fighters. Fast forward to the 90s, the Rwandan Civil War, the fastest paced genocide in human history, where 1 million people died in only 100 days. Israel was one source that provided the Hutus with weapons to massacre the Tutsis. They sent weapons to a country where they already knew a genocide was taking place, and a significant amount of the fighting now in the Congo that allows the enslavement of the Congolese people and exploitation of the land is being committed by M23. And who are M23? Well, they are the militia made up of ethnic Tutsis who were genocided in the 90s with the help of Israel. I've only mentioned three countries. There's also Angola, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Kenya, Morocco, South Sudan, Uganda, Guinea, and my very own Ghana. Israel is not the most moral army in the world, but they just might be the most morally corrupt army in the world.
Yeah, pretty dramatic stuff, folks. Pretty dramatic stuff. Now, Israel's a terrorist state, and there can be no denying that. And they're quite happy to supply weapons to both sides of any conflict. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're having a war, you're having a conflict, Israel will help you kill each other. Kill yourselves or kill each other. As long as you are not a Jew, they will do what they can to help you kill each other, because they want to wipe out everybody who isn't a Jew. Destroy Amalek. That's what it's all about. Even with this whole red heifer thing that they're doing. And this is so sick, folks. Like, they got this red bull, or this red heifer. They're going to kill it, and then they're going to burn it, and then they're going to douse the temple with ash and douse themselves with ash and all sorts of stuff to purify the temple mount, so they can knock down Al-Aqsa Mosque and build their third temple. And these aren't even the people that built the first two temples. I mean, we've gone through this whole thing. The Jews that are claiming they're Jews and claiming they're Israelites and claiming they have a connection to Israel, total fakes. Everything they do is fake. They have no connection to the place at all. But they're doing it because they're just these zealous religious idiots who want to bring about the end of the world. They want to bring about the end of everybody who isn't a Jew. They want control of the world for themselves. And that should be obvious to everybody. That's why they've infiltrated so many governments in so many places and done all the things they've done. But the thing is, you've got Christians supporting this building of the third temple, saying, well, this is going to usher in the return of the Messiah. Saying, well, this is our Messiah as well. We have a common interest in the return of the Messiah. But the Jewish Messiah is not Jesus Christ, like the Christians think. And if you read the Talmud and you read the Torah and you read all these ridiculous books that they read, they claim that the Jewish Messiah will not return until Amalek is destroyed. Amalek is Christianity and Muslims and Hindus and everybody else who isn't a Jew. Which is why all this stuff's going on, banning of food, you know, the breaking down of the food chain, the destruction of all these things, the destruction of the supply chain, which was what happened with the Baltimore Bridge. An interesting thing about the Baltimore Bridge as well is that, did you know the CEO of the company that owned the ship that crashed into the bridge, she actually drowned in a Tesla a few weeks ago. It was an accident, a Tesla, one of those Tesla Roadsters or Tesla Cybertrucks or whatever they're called, fell into a river. And because it's unbreakable and you can't break the windows, she was trapped in the vehicle and she drowned in the vehicle just a couple of weeks before that ship hit the bridge. Interesting stuff. But the breakdown of the food chain, the destruction of the food chain in the UK now, under threat of avian flu, of course, to help you, just to protect you. They're saying that you must register your chickens. If you fail to register even one chicken, it will be a £5,000 fine. And this is happening in the UK, like it's happening in England, it's happening in Scotland, it's happening in Wales. Probably end up happening in Ireland as well. The entire British Isles is under attack. The entire European continent is under attack, being flooded with migrants. Exactly the way I said it was going to be. And what they're doing, like bringing in all these Muslim migrants, because they want to bring the war of East against West right to your home soil, because they want to destroy Europe, because they want to destroy Amalek. And once they've done that, then you might get the return of the Jewish Messiah. Well, that's what they believe anyway. And even most of the Jews will suffer at the hands of this, because they don't intend to take all the Jews with them. They want the Jews to rule the world. Basically, they want to return to source. They want to climb Jacob's ladder. I mean, it's all really sick shit. All this Kabbalah and all this sort of stuff. It's kind of long and complicated, probably too long and complicated to get into at the moment. But this is all the stuff that's happening, folks. Like, they're pulling out of Gaza in some places. They pulled out of West Gaza, left it just looking like a sand dune rather than a city. And they've carried out the most wanton acts of genocide and destruction while they've done it. They're a really, really sick culture, folks. I saw one picture of an Israeli soldier. Might have been on Jeff Berwick's last video. An Israeli soldier who was carrying around the booty of a baby. And this is a baby that he killed, a Palestinian baby that he killed. And he saved one of the booties and he carries it in his pocket so he can pull it out and smell it and remember the baby that he murdered. These are sick, sick people, folks. Even the fact they're going to kill this red heifer and burn it and cover themselves and the temple and shit in its ash. I mean, this is really twisted pagan stuff. The way they get chickens as well. They'll get a chicken and they'll kill it in a certain way and cut its head off. This blood libel stuff they do. And they transfer their own sins onto the chicken. And then they kill the chicken and they believe that this absolves them. They're carrying out the brutal murder of a harmless chicken. It absolves them from murdering all these other people. It's sick, sick culture, folks. Really sick culture. This is what they do. Because they've got to do something to get rid of the guilt from all of the pain and suffering that they cause. And they've been responsible for like every war in the last 200 years, folks. And that's just the way it is. That's who is in control of the world. And it's about time people woke up to it. It really is. I mean, even Netanyahu, a few years ago, basically explained what himself and Israel is inadvertently.
What terrorists do is target the innocent deliberately. And therefore, my definition of terrorism is the systematic and deliberate attack, the murder, maiming, and menacing of innocents, civilians, for political goals. You can tell a lot about terrorists, but what happens when they come to power? Those who fight for freedom and come to power do not impose terrorism. Those who do, who fight in terroristic means, end up as being masters of terrorist states.
Yeah, crazy stuff, you know. And you got all these token things going on from the United States saying that they're doing what they can to stop the genocide. We're building a pier. We're building a pier so that we can bring humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza. We're not stopping sending bombs to Israel or stopping sending them weapons or anything like that. We're not just putting a sanction on them or anything like that. But we're building a pier. And what are they building the pier out of? They're actually gathering the rubble from blown up buildings and they're piling it out in the ocean to build a pier and using that as the foundation for the pier. All of that rubble is full of dead Palestinians. There's so many people trapped in rubble. It's ridiculous. I mean, the numbers that we are given for dead Palestinians, these are way, way under who's really dead and how many are really dead. And they're all buried under these buildings, and these buildings are being bulldozed up and dumped in the ocean and being used as a pier, bringing humanitarian aid on the bodies of dead Palestinian children trapped in a rubble that was used to build the pier. You see how sick this shit is. I mean, the US could put a stop to this war straight away. Just stop selling arms to Israel, put sanctions on them straight away, remove all support from them. The only way they're able to get away with this is because of the support that they get from the United States. And what really empowered them to do it more than anything was Donald Trump moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Oh my God, look at this sky, folks. Look at this shit. Look at this stuff here in Croatia, what the people have got to deal with. It's crazy, folks. I mean, look at the sun. Look at the... Oh my God, you know, you just don't see this sort of thing in Mexico. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I showed you the sky on the way here, driving here. You know, I'm coughing and spluttering and short of breath and crazy stuff, folks. Crazy. It's sort of weird, really weird being here in Europe in the middle of all this. I wasn't sure when I'd get back to Europe or if I'd even ever get back to Europe. I want to try to catch up with some friends while I'm here. Hopefully I've got time. We've got this tour coming up, this Croatian tour, which is actually going to go pretty much all over Croatia and I think into Bosnia as well. I do intend to visit the Bosnian pyramid, so I'll be sure to bring some footage of that. There's a couple of places I want to do walk and talks here in Croatia as well that I'd like to show you. I'd like to show you some of the stuff down at the dock in Zadar. They've got some pretty interesting sort of setups down there, so I might try to get down there early one morning and do a walk and talk down at the dock. It's not really a dock, it's kind of a touristy dock. I mean, there's big mooring posts where they've got, you know, areas for ships to come and moor. And it's kind of been turned into a beach. It's like a beach with steps down to the water and little ladders to climb back out. And there's this interesting pipe setup where the wind blows across the footpath and it blows through these holes in the footpath and creates this pipe noise. And a lot of people go down there and meditate and stuff like that. So I'd really like to show you that. Interesting place, Croatia. There's only like 4 million people in Croatia, so it's a small country. A small enough population to really get mobilized with the right amount of encouragement and the right kind of encouragement. And it's very difficult for the police to be too brutal here because everybody knows them. They're all sort of families. Like I said, only 4 million people in the whole country. Yeah, 26 million people in Mexico City. So, you know, it's a good opportunity, Croatia, and they're good people. They're very staunch people, very kind people. It's a good country. So yeah, and beautiful mountain range over there as well. I really do like the look of the mountains. Yeah, they got a big election coming up here as well, actually, folks. I think it's on the 17th of April. And the 17th of April, get this, the 17th of April is actually International Circus Day. And this is the day they're having their elections in Croatia, which is pretty fitting, really. Apparently they usually have elections on Saturdays and Sundays, but this one is on a Wednesday, apparently. And everyone's kind of wondering about it. And knowing that it's International Circus Day as well, well, you've got to wonder what they got planned. But yeah, International Circus Day, folks. Also, I saw a report coming out of France. I mean, they really want to escalate things as well, folks, and they really like to set things up beforehand and put the fear of whatever into the minds of the people. And I saw a report, Macron is actually saying that he believes Putin plans to target the French Olympics this year. I don't even know the Olympics are on this year. That's how much attention I pay to the Olympics. But Putin plans to target the France or the Paris Olympics. So you can expect a false flag incoming. It sounds like Macron is planning to target the French Olympics and blame it on Putin. Because they're not really getting enough public support for their wars. They're not getting enough public support for what's going on in Ukraine. They're not getting enough public support for Israel. And Israel really wants to escalate things as well. Israel wants to escalate things beyond even a regional war. I mean, it wants to escalate beyond Gaza into a regional war, but then escalate that into world war. Like I said, the goal is to kill Amalek, which means they want as many countries fighting each other and killing each other as possible. But they won't get involved. They'll stay back because they're the victims and they had nothing to do with this. And they wish to remain neutral because they're the most moral army in the world and all the bullshit that they spread. But they're the ones behind the whole thing. And I've played you that Barbara Lerner clip so many times where she's saying that, you know, that they're going to overrun Europe and Europe's not going to be what it was, it's going to become multicultural and all sorts of stuff like this. That report that woman just put out that I showed you before, the woman from Ghana, showing exactly what they've done in Africa. And all this stuff is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. It's the tip of the iceberg, and we are in the apocalypse. We're in the great revealing. We're in the time when we can see all this stuff happening, and we've been given the opportunity to deal with it. But most people see it, they see it all happening, they just go, oh my God, it's biblical prophecies coming true, which means I can sit back and wait to be saved. This is why the Jews wrote that book and got you to believe all this crap, folks. It got you to believe that you don't actually have to do anything, that someone's going to come and save you, even though you never lifted a single finger to save yourself. It's unfortunately what's going on, folks. And they're also rolling out this whole smart grid in the background of everything. Now, going from 5G to 6G. Now, 5G, of course, was the introduction of the millimeter wave. The fifth generation of communication was the introduction of the millimeter wave, which is essentially a weapons system. And 6G is going to be all of the applications of that weapon system, stuff that I talked about a year, even 2 years ago, where I was talking about the intra-body nano-network, the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bodies, you know, all transhumanism, the stuff that I've been talking about for years and years. But the intra-body nano-network is what it's all about. You're seeing doors on shops now, getting sensors put on them. I showed you, like, 2 years ago again, I showed you how they're putting doors on supermarket cabinets, on freezer cabinets and stuff, and that soon these would have sensors and things on them for facial recognition, and you'd have to scan a code or scan a QR code or whatever to get the door to open. This is all coming in place in the United States now, as we said it would. And of course, that's why they have the, you know, they changed the law so that you can go in and steal $1,000 worth of stuff and they won't even call the cops, because the cops won't respond to any theft under $1,000 in the United States. So many shops are closing down, and the other ones are putting up security doors because they have to protect themselves from theft, which of course is not what it's about at all. It's not protecting themselves from theft. I mean, it is, I guess, but the theft has been created to give them the excuse to put up the security doors. Problem, reaction, solution. That's how it works every time, folks. Galian dialectic. Even with what's going on in Australia now, the 5G system, the phones, 5G phones, all this sort of stuff. Now they're saying that the 3G and 4G system is being switched off to, you know, make way for new technology, as if you have to. It's a freaking code. It's a carrier wave. The old analog system is still going, it's still functioning. You've got to wonder what they're using that for. They haven't switched that off to make way for new technology, and you don't need to switch off 3G and 4G to make way for new technology, unless it's this 5G smart reality, this slavery system they're trying to create. But what they're saying now, they've realized that there are over a million phones in Australia that are 3G and 4G enabled that will cease to function, like emergency services will cease to function. Once they turn off 3G and 4G network and it's all on 5G, if you don't have a 5G phone and you find yourself in trouble, then the 000 number is not going to work. 000 is the emergency number in Australia. In the United States, it's 911. But in Australia, it's 000. And they're saying this is a inadvertent consequence of switching off this network, and this politicians up there screaming in Canberra saying that this is negligence and we should have known this, making all sorts of noise about it as if it was a mistake. You know, it's an unintended consequence. No, it's a completely intended consequence. That's why they're doing it, and that's why they got this politician up there screaming about it, so that everyone's going to freak out and realize they've got to go and buy 5G phones, because they want you to have the 5G phone. Because without the 5G phone, the intrabody nano network and the Internet of Things and all this stuff they want to do will not work. The slavery system won't work. They won't be able to track you if you don't have the 5G phone. They won't be able to get the signal into your body. The signal comes through the phone. The phone is the gateway device. As I've showed you in diagrams, I don't know whether I've got any on my laptop, but I've showed you in diagrams how the phone is set up as the gateway device. They can target the phone with the 5G signal. That goes into your body because you've got the phone on your body. So it's the gateway device that they use to do all this stuff. And this is what they're setting up. And they're even doing it here in Croatia. The people that I'm staying with, the lady that I'm here with, she got a letter the other day, which was something along the lines of, scan this QR code to set up your online personal profile, you know, a chance to do it early. Set up your online personal digital profile. I looked at her and I went, ah. She went, yeah, 5G, the digital ID, all the stuff they want to do. So they're sneaking it in different countries in different ways, different strokes for different folks. But it's all leading towards the same thing. Crazy stuff, folks. Crazy stuff. It is very nice here in Croatia, I have to say. And but I'm doing a lot of touring. I got a lot of dates through various regions in Croatia, from Šibenik, it's hard to pronounce half the words, but Barijeka and Zadar and Zagreb and Split, and even going to Dubrovnik, like I said. So I'm going to be going and checking out the Bosnian pyramid while I'm in that area. And it should be good. There's a couple of events, like the one in Zadar, we don't know where that's actually going to be yet, but it will be somewhere, and that's in a week or two from now. I had a great meet-up last night with a bunch of people. My first meet-up here. Still a little jet lag, but it was good. And we're going down to do a talk tomorrow in Šibenik, I think it's called, and then one in Split the following day. So it should be fun. Get to meet a few more people. And yeah, kind of back and forth across the country. I don't know how many videos I'm going to be able to bring you while I'm in Croatia, folks, because I've got a pretty hefty schedule. But there is a few places I want to show you, like those pipes in Zadar, and I'll probably show you some of Split, and I want to definitely show you the Bosnian Pyramid if we end up going there, which would be really good. So, but I don't know how many videos I'm going to be able to bring you. I'm probably going to be away from Mexico for 6 to 8 weeks, I would say. Hopefully it won't be too long. I mean, I don't want to stay away like 3 months or anything like that. I'd like to be home within 2 months if I could possibly manage it. So it depends on whether we can juggle these gigs and venues and which ones are going to happen and whatever. But all the ones that I put up on the screen there, they are the ones that are confirmed. Apparently there's a couple more as well. Like according to this poster, there's a few more. So we're just going to have to see how it goes. You know, there's a lot going on here in Europe, folks. It'd be really good to get these people motivated. So many children dying now in Europe as well. Dying suddenly, of course. You know, and there's big changes coming everywhere. Massive protests in Israel against Benjamin Netanyahu now. And you might think that's a good thing. I mean, there's literally thousands and thousands of people calling for his arrest. There's people protesting outside his house. There's paragliders flying over his house, you know, mocking him for messing up on October 7th and the paragliders coming through and all sorts of stuff. A lot of people calling for Bibi Netanyahu to be arrested due to his actions in Gaza. But check it out. What are they actually protesting about? What do they think about his actions in Gaza? Well, about 75% of Israel and all the people mounting the protests are protesting because they don't think he's gone far enough. They don't think he has destroyed enough buildings and killed enough children and wiped out enough people. He hasn't done a ground assault into Rafah, and so they are calling for his resignation, calling for his arrest, because he hasn't killed enough Palestinians. That's how freaking demented Israel is, folks. I mean, you see these protests against Netanyahu and you think, oh, wow, at last, there's humanity in the country. No, there isn't. They're doing this because they want more death. They want more murder. They want all the Palestinians gone. They want Gaza as their own real estate. And that's the end of it. And if Bibi Netanyahu doesn't do that, well, they want him gone. That's the sick, demented nature of this culture, folks. They've only been kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times while screaming victim and abuse and victimization all the time that they do it. You know, they always scream out in pain as they hit you. That's what they do. And they portrayed themselves as the endless victim, the Holocaust and all this sort of bullshit. And I've showed you so much stuff regarding the Holocaust, folks. There was no Holocaust of Jews in World War II. The worst Holocaust that we know of in recent history have been the Bolshevik Holocaust, which killed somewhere between 66 and 135 million Christians at the hands of Bolshevik Jews. The numbers are unknown. The Holodomor Holocaust, which killed millions of Ukrainians by starving them to death. These are all instigated by Jews, and yet they cook up their whole World War II Holocaust, which of course nobody knew about while the war was going on. They fabricated it after the war and got people to buy into it because they controlled the media by then. There's actually a picture that I saw on my Telegram the other day. Thank God for that. I've been looking for this picture. I had it on one of my failed hard drives, and I've been searching the internet for it for a couple of weeks, like just randomly when I think about it. But someone actually posted it on my Telegram the other day, which shows that when you look at religious population figures between 1933 and 1948, while the Holocaust was apparently happening and 6 million Jews were killed, the Jewish population around the world went up by over 400,000 during that period from 1933 to 1948. So where does the Holocaust fit into these figures? There was no Holocaust, folks. Of course, I could be arrested for even saying that in Europe. That's how fake this whole thing is, and that's how scared they are that people are waking up to it. Apparently, there's cars going around with megaphones in Germany at the moment trying to wake people up to the fact that they've been scammed. The German people have paid a terrible price for the lie of the Holocaust, folks. They've been victimized. I mean, kids wanting to kill themselves simply because they were born German, because they believe the official narrative of World War II when it's a complete crock of shit. So yeah, so I mean, there's lots of wake up stuff happening. Hopefully we can spark a little bit of motivation in this tour of Croatia. A very positive meeting last night with people. We had some great conversations around the table for a couple of hours. It was really, really good. And hoping to do that with these gigs in Croatia as well, with the rest of them. I'm not really going to be doing presentations because I figure all the people that are coming to the gigs, they all know me, they all listen to the shows, they've all seen plenty of stuff that I do, so they don't really need another presentation. What they need is some sort of positive empowerment and plan of action, and you know, some way of bringing their community together, some sort of inspiration, I figure. So we're going to do more of a conversation sort of a thing, roundtable conversation, and answer questions and just discuss things, you know. There's all sorts of things you can do. A little trip they're doing in England actually at the moment to cover up all the ULEZ cameras, all this facial recognition stuff that they're putting in for their 15-minute cities and all this sort of crap. They're putting up bat boxes over the cameras because apparently it's illegal to tamper with a bat box once it's been put up.
Why are protesters putting bat boxes over ULEZ cameras?
Well, this is nothing short of pure and utter genius.
Well, bat boxes are actually protected by law in the UK, meaning, in theory, that they cannot be removed from the cameras, making them permanently out of order. But is this justified? Now you know.
It's kind of creative activism, don't you think, folks? Put up bat boxes, you kind of get them tied up within their own legislation. But, I mean, enough is enough of all this shit. Like I said, even like with what they're doing in Canada and the petition and all that sort of stuff with Justin Castro, don't make a petition. Do a people's mandate. We want this guy gone. He's a criminal. We want him gone. Look what he's done to the world. Look what they've all done to the world. All these governments have invalidated themselves, folks. I've said this so many times. How can you believe a word that they say anymore? And just the fact that they're all supporting genocide so openly, I mean, come on, you know. What's it going to take for people to simply say no? You know, I put out a film in 2008 called Fight the New World Order with Global Non-Compliance. And honestly, if we'd done that, if the whole world stood up and said no, this would be over in a day. It'd literally be over in a day. What are they going to do? I mean, there's 6-7 billion of us, 8 billion of us. There's a lot of us, folks, a lot more than the politicians. Gee, I think I see a way out. So we don't even need conflict, we don't need war, we don't need revolution, we don't need any of that stuff. We just need to learn how to say no. And the whole thing goes away. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Because they're setting everything up to go their own way. There were people protesting in Ireland the other day. Some sort of a peaceful protest. And whether it was about 5G or whether it was about the immigrants or whatever it was, the smoke, I think it might have been about immigrants. But it was an Irish rally, and suddenly Antifa showed up at the rally and started causing violence. The people at the rally responded against Antifa and sort of pushed back a little bit and kicked them out. And in the process, one or two of them dropped their cell phones. So they got hold of a cell phone of one of the Antifa members, and they found out that all of the Antifa members that were present there are all immigrants, that had all been employed by the government and Irish media in order to go and start violence at this peaceful rally. And this shows absolute collusion. It shows the government, the Irish government and Irish media are involved with staging terrorist events. Check this out.
And it's videos of Paul Dermot Connolly smashing the shit out of the tricolour flag, writing all this bullshit over it to get them to violently rise up against the people that are having their yearly remembrance parade.
Yeah, what's the difference, man?
No, tell her, bring her and tell her, will you? I might tell her, Mandy.
Have a day.
And there's video of him defacing the tricolour and getting ready for it and setting it up with the ones that come along dressed up as Antifa. And the video and the phone was taken from the Irish lads, and there's a video of it now of them going through it.
Dirty bastards. No, I exposed now, we have that noises now. Look at them. Internet, do your thing.
Yeah, look, there's more, look. There's more.
This is the fire next. That looks like a hotel room, doesn't
it? It's ended now. It's probably an NGO.
That looks like a hotel room, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is a hotel room.
WFG as well.
Destroying the tricolour.
He's a foreigner, boys. Look.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Look, now, look.
Stop it.
That was him.
Was it?
He was there.
That was the man with the hat, yeah.
Watch. He was there. Oh, he pulled his one off.
Oh,
yeah. That's the one. There, no, that's the one I pulled off, bro. He's the one with the bounty there, bro.
I mean, what do you think he is?
Sweep.
Oh, here they are walking up, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, the dirty bastards.
Yeah, yup, the yellow belly. The naan bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, we delete all these because these legs go straight to there.
The clouds.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So we delete them when they want. You and hey, daughter. Yeah, we got it, yeah?
Yeah, the video.
Tidy security. Well, let's go and we see all these pictures in the lads.
Yeah, it's all about them, yeah.
They are the, where's Gary in this one?
One of them is cops to take.
Is his Facebook on it? Yeah, 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 yeah.
No. Go into the messenger, go back. Go into the messenger there, look. I see you downloading it.
Yeah. What?
Paul Connolly's a man's Facebook on that.
Wait.
Now, to add on top of that, you've got the guard of Shacorna, the police, the Irish police. They're there going around the crowd asking people for a lost phone because apparently it had been lost and it was important they get it.
Yeah, folks, and again, all instigated by the same people. It's all the same people that want to overrun Europe with migrants and create the destruction of the West and destruction of the white race. You know, even with the facial recognition stuff they're bringing in, you know that facial recognition doesn't really work for black people.
Technology, well, unfortunately it seems, that is racist at times as well. Tech experts and activists have been criticizing the use of facial recognition technology, saying that it will only increase racial discrimination, and it seems like they were right.
Right. Now, from unlocking your phone to auto-tagging your pictures, facial recognition technology, it can recognize a human face in a picture, video, or in real time. It's used in airports, concerts, stadiums, hotels. Most of these places, they're now using facial recognition technology for surveillance purposes. In recent times, law enforcement departments too are using facial technology, recognition technology, to arrest or identify criminals.
But if reports are to be believed, AI might be behaving in a racist manner. As per US police records, in every reported case where police mistakenly arrested someone using facial recognition, that person has been black. Portia Woodruff, a mother from Detroit, Michigan, has filed a lawsuit for being wrongfully arrested against the city of Detroit in the U.S. District Court. Portia is the first female victim to report a false accusation based on the facial recognition technology. At the time of arrest, Portia was 8 months pregnant. Portia is now the sixth person to report being falsely accused of a crime based on a match with an unknown offender's face to a photo in a database.
Now, according to a recent study by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, researchers found that the facial recognition technology works relatively well on white men. Their study suggests that the results are less accurate for other demographics because of a lack of diversity in the images that are being used to develop the underlying database. And in a recent revelation, the United States federal government released a report that confirmed discrimination issues in its facial recognition algorithms.
Yeah, isn't that interesting, folks? Isn't that interesting? But of course, everything else is, I mean, if you even mention that, of course, you're a white supremacist, you're a racist. Apparently, eating meat is racist now as well.
Hamburgers of misogyny. The best protein is a racist. The first century animal complicity in an all part of the problem. If you eat at a more climate space, eating is also one structures of oppression. Are taunted to renew eating meat because they do. That's a meat, and it reveals masculinity really is why after 9/11, a man as hero became part of the reckless masculinity. Black man was a land. We saw how masculinity was. White supremacists did. Eating meat, dairy, oak drinking white matters, groaning with meat, dating of liberal soy boys are all natural. Sexy pigs, sexy chickens, fishes. Have fun.
I mean, you can't make this shit up, folks. Just anything they can do to demoralize and destroy Western culture in order to bring about the world they want to bring about for themselves, because they believe that they themselves, like being a Jew, is like being God himself.
Bis war nicht, wie die Gemorde sagt, dass der Pashtus nach Helese gedrückt worden, die Likute Teiro, auf dem Maa Kodesh Borcho, was tut er damit, Kutsche Brichu, Chayich, wie Jombar, Natsuni, Bonne, Natsuni. Und der Rebischter war reingegeben in Nieden, Makeach, als sie so ein Konnen in Natsheir sein, nicht nur, der Hanhoge Soelon, nur sie konnen nicht sein, Natsuni, Bonne.
Crazy stuff, folks. That's the way they think. So they're bringing in this whole slavery control grid, zombie apocalypse, all the shit they want to do, which they'll be able to do all this stuff through the 5G network, folks, even with the application of light. You know, how they've got all these LED lights everywhere and, you know, the blue lights on everything. We've been talking about this for a few years now, the fact that all your computer, your mouse, your car stereo, all this stuff has got this same blue light. What's this blue light all about? How does the blue light interact with 5G? What sort of frequency does it carry? What's it all about? An interesting experiment they've been doing is basically learning how to weaponize mice, make them angry. You get mice so that they attack other mice and just want to kill things, and they're doing it through the application of light. And guess which light makes them angry? Guess which color? Yeah, kind of telling, folks. when they get this whole thing in place, I mean, all these chemtrails, all this shit they're spraying in the sky, which is just outrageous and going on constantly, like constantly here in Europe, you have chemtrails in the skies. Look, there's a plane now laying out a trail line. And, I mean, over here, I mean, this whole sky is chemtrails, folks. This whole sky. There isn't one natural cloud here. You can see the lines across there. None of this is natural. It's incredible. And, you know, what they're putting in the food, the frequencies they're pumping out with people in the TV, carrier waves on the radio, the internet, routers, the 5G network, the technology inside people, those that had the jab. You can see where all this is going. And there's been all sorts of really weird shit, like people acting like zombies and stuff. I keep seeing videos of just ridiculously zombified people acting like kind of monsters out of horror movies on the side of the road. Really crazy stuff, folks. So where's it all going? And of course, they're censoring everybody that they can, trying to censor all this information that they can. My last video, actually, on Rumble, they censored my last video. They just stopped encoding it. I'm going to upload this to Rumble as well and see what happens. But the last video, it just would never go live because it stopped at, you guessed it, 33%. And it says waiting for an encoder to claim the video. And it's just been sitting there for the last 15 days waiting for an encoder to encode the video. So no one can watch the last report on Rumble. We'll see what happens with this video where it stops at 33% waiting for an encoder as well. But they're censoring everything. Censoring everybody. Getting us down onto smaller and smaller platforms. And making sure the message doesn't get out to people. Which, of course, is the plan. But, you know, the fact that they're going to so much effort to do it just shows how scared they are, how intimidated they are by the truth, how intimidated they are by people speaking out, having the nerve to speak out. And more people are doing it is the thing. Not enough, but more and more people are. Even, like, when you look at reality and consciousness and life being an emotional mirror and all of this sort of stuff, you look at the state of human bankruptcy, like spiritual bankruptcy of the human race, you can see why the world is in the state that it's in. All of the satanic pop stuff and, you know, everything they're doing. I mean, you come here to grow your soul, to grow your consciousness, to learn the difference between good and bad. You've got to have bad in the world because that gives you the opportunity to choose good and rise above it. But as a whole, you know, generally speaking, the human race isn't doing it as a collective. So they put out more and more badness, more and more in your face until you don't have a choice. They'll take everything from you. They'll kill your neighbors, kill your children, kill you, put you in a state of absolute scarcity and absolute desperation for you to stand up, to give you the opportunity to stand up. Now, in many ways, you could thank Bibi Netanyahu for putting this genocide in our faces because it gives us the opportunity to stand up and call it for what it is. And if we don't, it's going to get worse and worse. I mean, they want to escalate it to a regional conflict. They want to escalate it to a world conflict. They want to bomb Iran. They want to wipe out Amalek. They want to put all the races against each other. Or they sit in the background in Israel, so we're desperately trying to protect Israel from all these attacks all around us in the chaos of the world that's broken out into World War II, and it's all Putin and Iran's fault. No, it isn't. It's the fault of the people who run Israel. And I don't even like calling them Jews because they're not even Jews. There is no such thing as a Jew. As we've discussed previously, the word Jew doesn't even appear in the Bible. The word Gentile doesn't appear in the Bible. This whole thing is a constructed scam, folks, the entire thing. Even look at Shlomo Sand's book, The Invention of the Jewish People. His other book, The Invention of the Land of Israel, From Holy Land to Homeland. It's all a scam, folks. The whole thing is a scam. And what's happening to the world today is actually giving us the opportunity to deal with it. The question is, are we going to do it? Because all we need to do to deal with it is learn how to say no. You know, I've been calling for unity and people to put common unity back in their community, not to go and build alternate communities. You know, we already live in communities, but we hate the neighbours. We hate the people next door. We hate this and we hate that. We hate all sorts of stuff around us because we've got this completely superficial adolescent concept of what reality is. If we could put all that shit down, in Lakesh, I'm another yourself, It doesn't matter how bad or how evil you are, you are part of the same frequency that my consciousness comes from. And I have an opportunity to heal that evil in you if the rest of the people out there would put all their shit down and simply be the best versions of themselves that they can be and learn how to say no. People do that and we heal the world. It's really so simple that people can't see the forest for the trees. It's remarkable. It really is, folks. People cannot see the forest for the trees. And they just don't know what the way out is. And the way out is right in front of them. It's remarkable that people can't see it. But hey, you know, what do? You try to help in any way that you can. And that's what I've tried to do over the years, folks. Just inspire people. Just try to provide some confidence for people. So they can see beyond the veil, see beyond the glaze that's over most of their eyes. And just see the way out. You know, believe in themselves. Get out of the system. The system isn't going to help you. Like that video at the start, it shows you really how it works, folks. If you're going to play within those parameters, you've already lost. You're screwed right from the start. So get out there on your own. Become an entrepreneur. But just do what you love to do and get good at it and use that as an income. Now, my son said to me once, "What's the secret to getting through life, Dad?" And I said to him, "What you do is you find what it is you love to do. And you do as much of it as you possibly can until you get so good at it that people will pay you to do that. And then you're doing what you love and you're making an income out of doing what you love." This is why I started, you know, worked as a musician and do all that sort of stuff, you know, played guitar and did front of house mixing and all that sort of stuff because I love to do it. And I got really good at it. And so people would pay me to do it. It's like a tennis pro or a swimming pro or whatever, you know, even a footballer. I mean, they make ridiculous amounts of money because it's kind of this gladiator mentality. And, you know, they use them to distract people because it sort of provides an outlet for them, for their tribal nature. Because most people have this inherent tribal nature because that's kind of where we come from. And so they get you to vote for your own particular tribe, you know, Democrats or Republicans, or, you know, support your own football team or your own hockey team or your soccer team or whatever. It's all this tribal thing. It satisfies that tribal craving that we had. It makes us believe that we belong to some sort of a collective group think, you know, which a lot of people find kind of comforting. That's what it's all about. But, you know, really you can find what it is you love to do and just do it. And even with what I do now, making these videos and doing what I can, you know, I love doing it. I love walking around talking. I love bring information to people. I kind of even enjoy the editing and doing the artwork and creating the intros and all the stuff that I do for the videos. So, you know, it all kind of, it's satisfying in itself. You know, I've always lived my life in a kind of an artistic manner and, you know, performed the art of my life. And here I am sort of doing that with these videos. That's what I did with the guitar playing. That's what I did with the front of house mixing. When I got too old to do all that sort of stuff, I sort of started doing these videos and all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, you know, you kind of do what you can, but make sure you're enjoying it. I mean, make sure you're still treating your life like an artistic statement with whatever you do, even if you're a plumber, even if you're a mechanic or whatever. Do an incredible job of it. Do a really good job. I mean, I've often said if people had to sign their name to their work at the end of the day, there wouldn't be anything wrong in the world. Everything would work perfectly. But, you know, if you're doing one of these jobs, you should be because you love it. If you're fixing pipes, it should be because you love being a plumber. If you're a mechanic, it should be because you love working on motors. And if you don't, well, go get another job. Find what it is you love to do and do that. You know, I often tell the story of the guy, the 80-year-old guy I saw in Venice Beach crying because he was 80 years old and he was just sitting there looking at the surf. And I said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because I realized I could have done this 65 years ago. I could have just sat here and watched the surf and go surfing, and this is what I enjoy in life. But I missed out on it. I missed out on me because I was too busy collecting money and collecting stuff and thinking that I had to have the biggest house in the street and I had to be a successful businessman and I had to have 2.4 kids and a white picket fence and all this sort of stuff. When really all I wanted to do was sit on the beach and check out the surf and go surfing and enjoy the waves, enjoy the sun and enjoy being alive. And I missed out on that, and now I'm 80. You know, a lot of really successful people, a lot of billionaires, realize that there's no love or happiness in money. Once you've got enough money and the world becomes your oyster and there's nothing that you have to strive for, well, it kind of loses its worth. You kind of get everything for free. And stuff that you get for free is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Stuff that you have to work for, you have to strive to achieve, is worth so much. It's worth everything in your life. This depends on what it is. I mean, we're given all of these superficial things to strive for. Like I said, you know, a bigger front door, a colored TV, the latest model car. Really what we should be striving for is to know ourselves, because that's what you come here for, is to learn about this, to learn about you, to know yourself. Once you do that, you start opening up all sorts of realms in your mind and all sorts of things you can do and possibilities of endless possibilities, folks. The only thing that I would suggest is impossible in this reality, it's that which people believe is impossible. Because it's all based on belief. The whole thing's based on belief. Even getting old and stuff. I mean, my body gets older and wrinkled, but my head feels just the same. I still feel the same as what I felt when I was a teenager. Nothing's really changed. You don't get kind of old and infirm unless you believe that you do. But even the concept of getting old, when you get old, because Pope Gregory said that every time the earth goes around the sun, you get another year older and you get more wrinkles. But here's the question. If you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be? Think about that one. There was talk like that going around at the table last night, actually. And it's a valid question, because it's all based on your belief. All the stuff that they feed us, all the stuff on the TV, all the stuff they tell us that's going on in the world, how do you know any of it's really going on? I mean, like I showed you with that bridge and the birds flying up. I mean, how much of this is just constructed and fabricated and designed to lead you where they want to lead you? Was there even a ship that hit the bridge? I suppose there was. But you got to wonder, like I said, I wonder whether it was remote controlled. I mean, it seems pretty amazing that it just happened to hit right where it did, when it did, and the way it did. Like I said, it is possible that it was an accident. We've established that. But there's just too much weirdness with it. And with what they're doing to break down the food chain and break down the whole system and all the shit they're doing, it fits the narrative way too much to have been a coincidence, folks. I really don't believe in coincidences anymore. What that woman looking at the satellites and the Phobos 3 and all that sort of shit. That's pretty interesting, I think, folks, whether that was a fake eclipse, simply because they launched their satellite on that day and they wanted to test out its ability to create an eclipse. And so they announced there was going to be one, and there was one. But the moon and the sun were not lined up in the sky on that day. Of course, they switched CERN on and did all sorts of shit as well. I mean, they do all this stuff they can to distract you from what's going on, folks. And now they're, like I said, breaking down the food chain, destroying all the chickens and destroying all these animals. £5,000 fine if you fail to register one chicken because of avian flu, which is a complete and utter farce. There is no avian flu. It's a joke, folks. Don't believe anything these people say. I mean, one lesson in life, folks, never believe a single word that comes to you from a politician or the mainstream media. Just don't do it. They lie through their teeth at every opportunity. They fabricate news stories. And as we've just seen in Ireland, they even fabricate their own violence at rallies to try to discourage other people from joining the movement and to just be able to portray it as this terrorist event and provide excuses for the police to be able to go in and beat the shit out of peaceful protesters who are actually trying to save their own countries. All legislated by politicians, of course, folks. I've often said, you know, every problem that we face in the world today was legislated to exist. Everything that's happening in our societies is legislated to exist. And if they get away with what they're doing with this smart grid and this digital ID and this cashless society that they're trying to create, then it's going to be game over. These chemtrails, folks, they just do not stop. They do not stop spraying up here in the sky. Like every time I look up, there's a new trail line. It's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. But they don't stop with what they're doing. They do not stop. And if they get away with this digital currency and this digital ID, then it's going to be game over. They can switch you off at any point. In China, there's like hundreds of people committing suicide every week or every month because they've been blacklisted due to the social credit system. They can't enter supermarkets. They can't rent houses. They can't use public transport. They basically can't function in society. And so they're committing suicide. In Canada, with this whole euthanasia stuff they've got going on, you can go into a hospital with a sprained ankle. You'll be a 12-year-old kid going there with a sprained ankle, and the government will offer to kill you if you like. You know, offer you euthanasia as a way out rather than putting a bandage on your ankle. Going there because you're depressed, because you're poor, oh, we can kill you if you like. This is Justin Castro. This is all the stuff they're doing, folks. This is what our governments are doing. I mean, this is a war against the people. It always has been. In my first film, The Big Picture, in 2008, I said World War III has already started. It's a war of depopulation. It's being waged against the people of the world by the politicians of the world. And, you know, if you can't see it, well, it's right in front of your face. And the main tool they're going to use to do it is through control of food. I said this back in 2008, and look at what is unfolding in the world today. And the only thing that's going to stop it is the people. The people standing up and saying no. All of these governments need to be dissolved. It doesn't matter what country you're in. You need to rally the people. If your government participated in this COVID scam, if your government is participating in the climate change scam, and incidentally, they brought in new legislation now where they've declared climate stability or whatever to be a human right. So if the government isn't supporting the climate change agenda, then you can sue your government for breaching your human rights, because you have one of your human rights is to live in a clean environment and a safe environment. Where do you think this whole smart grid is? That clean and safe, or is it just applied to climate change? Because the environments that we're living in now are not clean, they're not safe, because you've got police brutality rampant, you've got this smart grid coming online, you've got 5G towers up everywhere irradiating everybody. So if a safe and clean environment is now a human right, well, can't we already sue our governments for putting up all these 5G towers and trying to roll this smart grid out? This is what they're saying. They're saying you can now sue your government if it isn't supporting the climate agenda, but this is going to be flipped around. If you're someone speaking out against the climate agenda and calling it out for the scam that it is, then the government can say you are impeding upon the human rights of your neighbours and they can arrest you. That's the way they're going to turn it. Like I said, I think we should flip it on them and let's talk about 5G. Let's talk about the jab. Let's talk about the COVID scamdemic, which I believe certain politicians in Germany are now calling it openly, saying that there was no pandemic. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the COVID pandemic. Let's talk about 5G. Let's talk about the smart grid. Let's talk about police brutality. Let's talk about the jab. Let's talk about all this shit and see if this isn't an infringement upon all of our human rights. And wouldn't that not give us the ability to be able to dissolve all of our governments and institute new governments in all of our countries? And I'll tell you right now, folks, if you ever do anything like that, a good rule of thumb is that anybody who really wants the job as leader is not suitable for the job. Because why would you want to lead a country? It'd be a terrible thing. I'd never want to lead a country. But, you know, you need someone with integrity to do it. And people who have integrity aren't going to volunteer for a job where they're in control of other people's lives. You know, integrity should be the highest form of currency. Integrity is the highest vibrational frequency you can have. And you talk about love and happiness and tolerance and compassion and all this sort of stuff. Integrity in what you say, honesty in what you say, even if you're incorrect, but if you believe what you're saying, if you truly believe it and you're honest in what you're saying and you're saying it out of a place of integrity, that's the highest vibration you can be in. You know, I see all this as opportunity, folks. I really do. I see all of it as opportunity. Opportunity for us to know ourselves, us to find ourselves. You know, it's a loss of self that has caused all this to begin with. And we are in such an incredibly opportunistic moment. Evil is so rampant and so apparent in the world today. And every time you witness this evil, you're involved in it. Every time you see what's going on in Gaza, every time you witness some of the stuff that I've showed you, you're involved in it. You know, and you might think, oh, showing you that, me showing you that, it lowers your vibration, it stresses you out, it lowers your frequency or whatever. You need to witness it, because these people need a witness for what they're going through, because you came here to witness this. And the reason you are witnessing this sort of thing happening in the world is because of the collective failure of humankind to recognize that evil does exist in the world, and to recognize that we are the source of it, and that we are also the remedy to that evil. But if you're just going to pretend it isn't there, oh, you know, where attention goes, energy flows, not my reality. Yeah, it is your reality. And the reason it is a reality for us and for the people in Gaza and for the people that are suffering this evil is because of that attitude that you have, saying, not my reality, refusing to witness it, refusing to do the shadow work, refusing to admit that the shadow exists and to cast light on that shadow. You cast light on the darkness and the darkness flees. People are too scared to do it. People are too scared of their own power. They're too scared to call things out for what they are. And the more they don't do it, and the more they delay this, then the more evil it's going to get, and the more in your face it's going to be, and the more the rest of us are going to have to put up with it, and the worse the world is going to get, until we're living in a complete slavery system because people refuse to admit that evil is real. I just go with the flow. Don't rock the boat. Be a nice person. I've told you about the etymology of nice before, folks. You look up the etymology of nice, it means to be stupid, ignorant, and uninformed. Have a nice day. Yeah. Another interesting one that I saw. They're telling you to trust the science, trust the scientific method. Now, English is basically derived from Latin. And when you go to, like, even do it on Google Translate, just go there and translate from Latin to English and type in the word scientific. And it's spread it up into three parts. S-C-I, the first word. E-N-T-I, the second word. And F-I-C, the third word. Sci-enti-fic. And see what you get. It's an interesting little result, isn't it? And ain't that the truth? Trust the scientific method. Yeah, trust in all the fictional bullshit that we tell you, and never believe in yourself. Never believe what you experience or see or hear with your own senses. Never experience what you experience with your own senses. Never believe any of it. Just trust us. Trust the science. Trust the government. We know. Yeah, sure you do. But anyway, that's about all I got to say, I think, folks. Like I said, I don't know how many videos I'm going to be able to bring you over the next couple of months. I do intend to be home in about 2 months, so we'll get back to normal then. But I'm going to try to keep them kind of regular. I mean, I had such a hard time at home. I really did try to get one out before I left, but it just didn't happen. And like I said, I've been kind of jet lagged for the last few days while I've been here. Plus, I've been going through a whole bunch of personal shit that I've had to sort out. But I'm still kind of sorting out and dealing with, so it's just the way it is, folks. I mean, you know, making videos isn't my entire life. Well, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy making them. But, I mean, I do it out of necessity. I do it because it needs to be done. It kind of irks me in many ways that I have to. It irks me in many ways that people can't just see it for themselves. But, again, I mean, I think even those who do see it for themselves need encouragement. They need someone to be there, and they need to know that there's people in there that are batting on their side, and that, you know, there's a bunch of us out here. So the main reason for even still doing these videos is to try and inspire people, because I can see a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, unfortunately, it's going to get pretty crazy before we reach that light. I mean, things are going pretty nuts, and it's going to get more and more nuts. And I've said before, I mean, it's almost, we've got to a point where the world's got to kind of crash and burn. The system's got to crash and burn. And whatever it is that's going to rise out of the ashes is going to be what it's about. I mean, I can't see any way of fixing this system without a worldwide act of mass non-compliance, simply saying no and seeking for the dissolution of all of our governments. You know, expressing a loss of confidence in all our governments. Like I said before, doesn't matter what country you're in. If your country is supporting the climate change agenda, if your country put you in lockdown for this fake pandemic, if your country is not complaining about what's going on in Gaza, then you need to stand up, rally the people of your nation to express a loss of confidence in your government's ability to govern, and seek to have them dissolved and institute a new government. This needs to happen in all of our countries. Our governments are infested with Jews and Israelis who are all supporting this Talmudic and Torah agenda. There's hundreds of thousands of Jews who do nothing with their lives but study the Torah and find more ways to exalt themselves and more ways to confirm their messed up, fucked up, psychopathic, sadistic belief system that they are the chosen ones and they are like gods in human form, while they rape, pillage, plunder and destroy everything around them while crying victim all the time while they do it. They've infiltrated all of our governments, folks. IPAC in the United States, the Jewish politicians in Australia, Jewish influencers such as Frank Lowy, who runs the Westfield shopping complexes, who also had a hand in 9/11 as well, folks. He ran all the shopping complex at the bottom of the Twin Towers. The towers were owned by Larry Silverstein, but Frank Lowy, who's also a Jew, who now lives in Israel, ran all the Westfield shopping at the bottom. All Westfield shopping centers are Jewish-owned. You should boycott all these places, folks. Boycott anything Israeli would be a good thing to do. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. The same thank yous that I give to everybody all the time. Thank you to the people who send me so many kind emails and so much support. Thank you to anybody who's ever contributed to the Crow House website. It's very needed, folks, and I cannot thank you enough because that's what keeps me going. Without that, these reports wouldn't happen. And I know the reports have been few and far between, but I'll try to get onto that. It's going to be a little touch and go for the next couple of months, but I'll get, you know, I'll get reports out to you. And we'll get back to normal once I get back to Mexico, back to the Secret Garden. It is good being here, but I do want to show you a whole bunch of places in Croatia as well. So you're going to see little videos. I mean, they might be short. You might only get 15 or 20 minutes. And I'll give you a little bit of news and show you the location that I'm in. But, you know, it'll be something. At least you'll know that I'm alive and you'll get to see some of the tour and be able to share some of the experience with me, which will be a good thing. So, yeah, so thank you to all the people who contribute. Thank you to all the people who are out there speaking out. Thank you to the people who came to the dinner last night and had the conversations with me. Thank you to all the people who are going to be coming to the talks across Croatia as well. I do intend to catch up with Rick Simpson while I'm here as well, folks. So I'll probably do a video with Rick, see what he's up to. That'll be good. And, you know, who knows where this could go? Who knows where this could go? Like I said, I do want to try to get up to see a couple of friends of mine while I'm in Europe. There's a particular good friend of mine in Holland I'd like to see. There's a particularly good friend of mine in Spain that I'd like to see. Whether I'm going to get time to do it, of course, is another question, because this tour is pretty hectic. I'll just have to see how it goes. There's also the expense of getting there and stuff, so whether I can manage it, but it would be great. Because I don't know when I'm going to get back to Europe. I'm actually surprised that I'm here now. It's really weird being here, just thinking, well, what the fuck am I doing in Europe? Really, really strange, folks. But it's all good. The people here in Croatia are such nice people, so yeah. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining on this report. I will look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care. Until then, in Lakesh.
And if traffic was bad, the parking problem was impossible, just like now. So one California genius disproved the simile useless as a fifth wheel. His fifth wheel aimed sideways, and with it you could sneak into the tightest hole. Power steering? Well, somehow it never caught on. Why not? We'll never know. That's ancient history.